Stan Riccio and Randeep Janda. Giannis Antetokounmpo signing a Supermax deal with the Milwaukee Bucks. Joining us now, Donovan Bennett, Free Association Podcast. Thanks for this, Donovan. How are you, man?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing well. We're doing well. Not as good as Giannis is doing today and his millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah, that's generational wealth, I believe is what that's called.
Yeah, no doubt. Are you surprised he did it? Because it seemed like there was some doubt that he would go down this road with Milwaukee.
I'm a bit surprised just due to the timing. Like, nothing has changed. The potential numbers that he could get that have been collectively bargained for a long time, given his years of service, that hasn't changed. The fact that he had the ability to sign it for a while hasn't changed, right? Like, there was a joke in Milwaukee where his teammates, gifted him a bunch of pens, almost saying, like, you can sign this deal right now, which I'm not sure how funny he found that at the time. But the real thing is, you don't need a pen to sign a contract anymore. Like, if this pandemic has taught us anything, and the fact that DocuSign's stock values through the roof, he could have signed this on an iPad in Greece like weeks ago. This didn't have to play out very long. And so the fact that it didn't get done right away is why I'm surprised it got down now, because literally nothing has changed. And in terms of the Milwaukee Bucks cap situation moving forward, nothing really has changed there. So this is their team for the foreseeable future. Outside of, some tinkering with trades here or there, they've lost some pick capital. They don't have any financial flexibility. They've never been a luxury taxpayer in a big way. So he's signing up for this version of the Bucks for the foreseeable future. And so I am surprised that it took this long, and also that he signed for this long, that he didn't give himself a little bit earlier of an out, say in 2 years or 3 years, where he could get back and get higher raises given his time of service, and still make a boatload of cash, but keep the pressure on the organization in the interim.
Well, you mentioned that this is not a team that goes into the luxury tax, but what changes from the Bucks' perspective now? Do they have to do that regularly? You know, if you've got this guy for at least 5 years and maybe less, depending on what happens in Milwaukee, like, are you under pressure now to deliver really, really good players next to him over the next couple of years?
I think you are under pressure, and this is the modern day NBA where, like, you're going to take a deep breath if you're a Milwaukee Bucks fan for now. But the first time you lose four straight, the first time you're down 2-0 in a series, you're going to feel nervous again. You're going to feel pressure again. The whole thing, and I'm contemplating writing about this for Sportsnet.ca, so based on how this call goes, I may or may not. But the max salary, as intended, hasn't worked. The provision of the max salary was put in so that stars couldn't hop from team to team and create super teams, so that they would make so much money in one place, you couldn't add a bunch of them on the same team, and that the incentive for their home team would be so high that they would be motivated to stay because the difference in money was huge. Well, that hasn't been the case. Look at the people who have had Supermax deals. Russell Westbrook, did that stop him? He's on his second team since he signed his Supermax. Kevin Durant, he's on not only a different team in the Warriors, he's on a different team again with the Nets. James Harden is trying to get out of his deal, and he had power. He basically built the roster, and year after year decided, I actually don't like the guy that I told you to trade for, until he just got fed up and he wanted to leave. So really, although he signed for 5 years and he's got his money, if you're a Milwaukee Bucks fan or executive, you don't feel that much more confident that the pressure is off. The pressure continues to be on the organization to prove to the star athlete, this is where you should stay. This is your best shot at winning a championship.
Donovan Bennett, our guest. It felt like a lot of Raptors fans had the air popped out of their balloon when Giannis made the announcement. We know the Raptors tried their best to stay flexible in hopes that they could take a run. What does this mean for the Raptors now?
I mean, I think, listen, there are still going to be a boatload of free agents available this summer. You're still going to be in the catbird seat in terms of cap space. You still are going to be able to control some of the cheap assets that you do have, because not only did you not sign long-term deals with them, but the second year in the off-season deals that they did this year are non-guaranteed, so you can move that money or that player without real cap casualties. And the other thing, and people have to get off thinking of just improving via free agency. Like, certainly that is a route and that is a way, but when you look at the stars that the Raptors have had, many of them have come via trade. Kyle Lowry came to the Raptors via trade. Kawhi Leonard came to the Raptors via trade. Marc Gasol, Serge Ibaka came to the Raptors via trade. But in order to absorb a big contract, you need space, obviously. And so the Raptors have flexibility, first and foremost, which is what you want in this sport when you're in this space. The exact thing that the Milwaukee Bucks don't have. So if they didn't re-sign Giannis, then they would have been in trouble for the foreseeable future. So you shouldn't be too upset if you are a Raptors fan, because one thing we know about the NBA is that you don't go very long until another disgruntled superstar wants out of their situation, whether it's Kawhi Leonard, Anthony Davis, now James Harden. It always happens, and there will be some that represent a good option for the Raptors in the future. So the fact that you've got that cap flexibility is not for naught, just because you're not getting Giannis in the short term, it seems.
Well, speaking of James Harden, he's reported, he's practicing, but as you mentioned, he's still disgruntled. How do you see this playing out?
It's funny, because the difficulty for James Harden is that he doesn't play in the NFL. He can't pull a Le'Veon Bell. He can't just sit at home and say, I'm going to make this miserable for you. You're not getting my services until you trade me. Because unlike NFL players, if you're in the NBA, you need to pass and report. You need to be there in order for the years to continue to tick off your deal, and for most importantly, for you to get your money. So James Harden wanted to really shelter in place in a pandemic and not show up for the Rockets. Tillman Fertitta would be like, okay, cool. I don't have to pay. And so that's the problem for Harden, in the fact that there's so much time left on his deal, and he doesn't have that sort of leverage. Jimmy Butler was a different scenario. His deal was coming up, but also he was making life living hell for Karl-Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, two guys that they invested in that were going to be there for a long time. There are no other like players in Houston where James Harden can make it that difficult to make the organization have a choice. So really, they're in an okay position. The problem is they're not going to be all that good. Like, DeMarcus Cousins' resurrection sounds nice, and John Wall is coming off two lower leg injuries back-to-back, and maybe he can regain some of his all-star status. But you're talking about a stacked Western Conference. So, again, there's no real ceiling for this team to get to a championship level because, again, they're another ownership group who refuses to pay the tax. So, in fact, their best scenario to get better is probably actually capitulating and trading James Harden, whether or not it's for another all-star player or, more likely, a boatload of picks and maybe some young potential superstars. So, one way or another, both sides don't actually have a good situation together, but they probably don't have enough motivation to part unless it makes sense in a big way. And so I think James Harden will certainly start the year in a Rockets uniform, but I don't think he'll end it in one, because we're going to find out very soon that they're not that good. And so they might as well trade him and see if they can restart the clock on potentially being a championship team.
It's going to be a fun NBA season. Donovan, always appreciate your time. We'll talk soon.
My pleasure, fellas.